Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. And thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, where we go through the process of there being empowered in this 15-minute segment, where we are able to understand the life of Christ working in us in our process and the place where God has called us to, where we begin to grow continually in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, line upon line, precept upon precept, depth to depth, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith, glory to glory. And we do this in everyday situations. As we face those challenges, we now apply the Word of God. We see it through the eyes of the Word or the Spirit of God, and we know exactly how to, as we're led by the Spirit of God in spirit and in truth, we know how to go through those things with the right attitude, with the right perspective, with the right heart, with the right motives. And it's not easy. The process of where God is calling us to is not easy, but thank God for grace that allows us to go through the things that we go through. And as we live for the glory of God, we not only get a reward here, but there's a greater reward in heaven for us because we've endured the way that God has said. So we want the life that we live to speak for us. So our process is a continual thing that we go through because life always happens. Something in life happens. So we see God demonstrate his power, his grace, his mercy unto us, and we are the light so that someone else is able to come to know Jesus Christ, encouraged by our light. They are healed by what we say. They are basically moved to a place where they, instead of giving up, they are now moving forward. So the life that we live, that which we live every single day, speaks to us, testifies to the glory of God. Today we're going to be looking at, in the book of First Chronicles, 14th chapter, we're going to be looking at David's life here for a moment and just being encouraged by David's life. And the drop set of this is David has been on the run for over 17 years over the promise of God. He has basically was anointed by Samuel to become king. And when Saul found out about it, that David was his replacement, that he basically hunted him. But David, in all of his running and his close encounters, never put a hand to Saul. He wouldn't touch God's anointed. And that it speaks volumes because that lets us know that no matter what we go through, we are not to touch the anointed of God in word, actions, or deed. The anointed of God is all those who basically belong to him, but especially his leaders, because his leaders are called by him, and they will be judged by him, and they will be disciplined by him, chastised by him. And when you begin to put your hands into touching them with words, with actions, with deeds, with trying to divide the ministry, you basically fall into the hands of an angry God, because there's a way to handle everything. Even when we don't agree with our leaders, we can go to God in prayer and ask him to show us how to understand what the leader is doing, or if we understand it's not in the will of God or the direction of God, or it's outside of the will, then we need to pray that God will enlighten our leaders. But to go and to divide the church and gossip and do all such things is not the will of God. So we see that David did not touch God's anointed, Saul. He even made covenant with Jonathan that he would bless the house of Saul all the days that he lived and as king. And so even Jonathan knew that he was going to be king. David was going to be king. So we get here after all this travail, all this process, all the things that he endured. He's finally at a place where things should be moving in the direction of the will of God. He's finally here at the place of possession. And we see that at this place of possession, David, he now is here, and he basically gets understands and realizes why he was made king, that he was made king to be great in God's kingdom, to build God's temple, to lead God's people. He understood all of those things. He marries, and he has additional wives. He's now moved to Jerusalem. He has additional wives and sons, and it lists his sons. But as soon as the Philistines find out and hear that David is now Israel's new king, they mobilize a force to capture him. As soon as David got to the place of power and authority, as soon as he finally got to the place where he was possessing and walking in the promise, the enemy hears and now wants to launch an attack. As soon as you get, even though we know promise is ours and God gives us breakthrough and God's going to do some wonderful things in our lives, as soon as we get that thing that we've been waiting and fighting and expecting and looking for, we finally get it, know that there's going to be an attack. Because the enemy now knows that you have it. This is a place of authority. You won something. This is a place where you are now able to reign over an area or in an area that the enemy has kept you out or has been so hard to keep or possess. But now that you have gotten it, the enemy's going to hear and they're going to come after you just because they know you have finally gotten that place. Understand that when that happens, God, the same God that was with you when you were going through the process, when you were praying and interceding and waiting expectantly for the breakthrough, for God to do what he was going to do in your life, the same God that was with you then is the same God that's going to be with you when the attack comes. And know that that is going to come to try to make it look like the promise is not so. Did they not do that with Jesus? Whenever he got up from the tomb, what did the Sadducees and the Pharisees say? Say that his disciples took his body. They were trying to make it look like the miracle of what God said was not true. But you cannot be moved by that. You can't even allow fear to even come and hit you. You've got to look at it and say, I conquered through the blood of Jesus. He gave me this victory through his name, through his promise, through his faithfulness to me, and I will not be afraid now that the enemy's trying to move me or buffet me that I have possessed. Know that the same God is still with you, and he's going to fight this battle with you and for you. We see that David, they wanted to capture David. They wanted to capture him, but David heard and learned about what they were going to do and that they were on their way. God is not going to allow us to be ignorant to the devices of the enemy, the plots and the plans of the enemy. He's either going to give us a dream. He's either going to give us an open-eyed vision. He's going to lead us to his word and speak to us. He's going to lead us by his spirit so that we do not fall into the traps of the enemy. He's going to make sure that this place of possession is an everlasting place, that it is not just something we just win, but we're winning not only for ourselves, but the generations that did not conquer in our family past, and for the generations in the future or anyone that comes in our lives that we're able to show and demonstrate and even break off of them any yoke that is in regard to the place that we want to and show them the demonstration of God's faithfulness and the manifestation of his power to do exactly what he said. So when we're winning, we're just not winning for ourselves. We're winning over territory that belongs to our family, generational, that they could not win over. We're winning for that's past tense. We're winning for the future, the present tense, where we're at, and for the future. So God is making sure that when we win, it is winning over all of those areas, just like he knows us past, present, and future. He's the God of past, present, and future. He's making sure that we win in that same aspect and that we don't go down. He's going to make known to us what we need to do. And if we follow the instructions and the directions of God, if we follow the strategies that he gives us and listen attentively to his voice and do it his way, we're always going to come out on top. And we can't lean to our own understanding about how God is telling us to fight or what God is telling us to do. We've got to know that he's all wise, all knowing, and he knows exactly how to lead us and guide us and take us to the place where we're going to win victoriously in our life. So we see that David learns about this attack, and the Philistines were basically in the valley. They were in that valley, and the valley that they were at, David goes and inquires of God, should I go down and attack? Should I go down and get them? If I go out and fight them, will I get the victory? And anytime we are in battles and we are facing certain things, we got to understand we've got to inquire of the Lord. There are certain fights that the Lord says, don't mess with, don't touch, don't do anything, don't say anything. Let me do it. I'll do it in my timing. You be quiet. Then there are battles that we're asking the Lord, do I go out and do I fight? And God is going to give an answer. Our fighting is not with carnal weapons. Our battle is in the spirit realm. You cannot fight a spiritual battle using carnal weapons. It shows up in a manifestation of the carnal because that's what the enemy uses. That's what he did with Job. He took Job's possessions and God allowed him to make it seem as if Job was only tied to God, connected to God, in love with God, serving God for things in the earth. But he didn't understand who Job was in the spirit realm. Job was a worshiper, a righteous man, a lover of God and the things of God. He believed God and knew that God was faithful. So he did not see or perceive who he was in the spirit realm. So the enemy is always going to attack that which will move you, which is the natural, the flesh, the things around you. But that does not stop who you are in the spirit realm. If you're a worshiper, you're going to be a worshiper right through trouble. You're going to worship sometimes through tears, but you're going to worship through trouble. You're going to speak and declare the word of God. You're going to continue to pray and press into God. You're going to continue to give thanks unto him because situations that come to buffet you does not stop your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father is a God who is faithful, and what he has done for us is greater than temporal things. He's given us everlasting life, life that no one could ever take from us, that we will always be with him in his presence and live with him forever. So he's covered the multitudes of our sins, covered us when we couldn't cover ourselves, gave us what we could not give ourselves. We owe the penny, as the book of Leviticus says, we owed a penny, but we did not even have the penny to pay for our sins, for our debts. He paid what we owed and paid it in full and then gave us good gifts, led us out of the place of our holding and made sure that our name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no God like our God. So when we're hit in the natural realm, that does not, if you really are a worshiper and lover of God and serving him for who he is and not for his hand, not because you want him to just show up and give you stuff, but no matter what's going on, you're still in love with him. He's holding no charge to God, even if it doesn't look or work out the way that you want. You're still saying, God, I'll serve you with everything, and I'll do all that you say because you're faithful, and without you, I'm nothing. I cannot survive without you. You are the meaning of everything that I am, the essence of everything that I shall be. Anything that I am is because of you. And if without you, Father God, I would have never made it. My enemies would have consumed me if it had not been for you on my side, even before I ever knew you, because you called me and knew me before the beginning of time unto yourself. When you understand that and have that right mind, you don't allow things in the natural to move you from your intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father, because you know it's all going to work out for the good. It's going to turn out in your favor. God is always going to make that thing work for your good and use that situation as an overcoming testimony that you can use to bring others to God, to encourage others, to even be added to your testimony in a way that when you worship, when you face things, you know if God did it back then, if he did it before, he's going to do it again now. He is not going to change. He's the same God. When you understand that, you're not moved because trouble hits your life. And so David is here at this place, where they're in the valley. He consults God about going into the valley to go after his adversary, to go after his enemies. And God tells him, go ahead and go. And because of what he's done, because of his faithfulness unto God, he sees God demonstrate his power again and again and again over his enemies. And the place that David met them, that valley, that place, that Baal Perazim, that place now, because he reigned in that place, because he won in that place, was named now the place of breakthrough. Now, even though David has got and possessed the place where God has promised, he now has another testimony that God is the God of the breakthrough. I don't care what you're facing in your life. If you just walked into the place in the spirit realm of possessing, that you are in a sure place where you know God is getting ready to do something and you get an attack, an unexpected attack, look for God to be come where you are and make that place the place of the breakthrough or the breaking through. God is going to break through some things in your life, and he's going to do it for his name's sake. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thatson. Thank you for joining me for this 15-minute empowerment. We will go into this even more tomorrow, and we will understand more about the places that we are in, but we are encouraged to know that no matter where we are, breakthrough is ours and God is for us. Be encouraged in your day, possess all that God says, and know that you're more than a conqueror, and we'll see you here tomorrow at the same time. Be blessed.